in the course of this year. But this time, the halachic discussion of Amalek and the Hashkafa discussion will be integrated into one entity. I think that we cannot understand the significance of Amalek without understanding first the halachic point that in here, in the mitzvah of Zocher and the mitzvah of Mochei Kimchei. The mitzvah of Zocher is Asher Osa Lecho Amalek, and the mitzvah of Mochei Kimchei Zecher Amalek Mitachas HaShomayim, while these two constitute an integral part of the Torah, superficially strike in everybody's mind a jarring note. The whole idea of harboring a grudge against a wrong done in the past, as well as the striving towards vengeance, appears to be inconsistent with the sublime ideals of Yadus. Against a wrong done in the past, as well as the striving towards vengeance, appears to be inconsistent with the sublime ideals of Yadus, of Rachamim and Chesed and forbearance. Furthermore, assuming that vengeance against an enemy of the Jewish people is a laudable quality, then this mitzvah of Zocher is Asher Osa Lecho Amalek is inconsistent with other commandments of the Torah that also relate to enemies of the Jewish people. Amalek was not the only enemy of the Jewish people. Apart from the fact that Halacha She'is of Seinel Yaakov, that throughout the generations, almost every Gentile nation has adopted an attitude of animosity towards the Jewish people. We also know that certain ancient nations have attempted to destroy the Jewish people. Not any less than the Amalekites. The Egyptians endeavored to blot out the Jewish people. Still, the Torah commands the Jews throughout the generations not to abhor the Egyptians. The Edomites, the historical enemies of the Jewish people, are not to be abhorred, which is everybody. Why then was God's wrath let out against the Amalekites? Now, if we analyze the two parashas in the Torah dealing with Amalek, so we find that the Torah deliberately excluded every possible cause that has historically, throughout the generations, been set forth as a ground for war. War has been a phenomena that has existed all the time. And with a few exceptions, war generally was waged on unjustifiable grounds. But justifiable or unjustifiable, there have been certain causes that gave rise to war. In the Torah, mentions the circumstances under which Amalek made the unprovoked attack against ancient Israel in order to show that Amalek's unprovoked attack against Israel did not stem from any psychological cause, even an unjustifiable psychological cause. Now, what have been the various causes of wars between one nation and another? One basic cause for war was self-defense. When a nation felt that in order to defend itself, it must wage war against another nation, then war arose. Another cause of war was the cupidity of one nation for the possessions of another nation. Another motive for war was lust. Various wars have been waged on account of lust. Another cause of war has been religious bigotry. Another cause of war has been a feeling of resentment and revenge against a certain nation. Now the Torah says in Bishalach, Vayovi Amalek. Amalek came. This means that Amalek was not attacked by Israel. Amalek went out of his way to attack Israel. Perhaps Amalek's cupidity for the possessions of Israel was aroused. So the Torah says, Zocher is a sharosa lecho Amalek baderech b'teischem Mitzrayim. Amalek attacked Israel while Israel was wandering in the wilderness. While Israel was a homeless people without any possession and without any land and without any state of its own. Perhaps Amalek's attack against Israel was aroused by religious bigotry. Perhaps Amalek felt that Israel was trying to blot out the religious ways of the past. But this was not the case. Because according to our sages, Amalek attacked those members of the Jewish people who were expelled by the Onon, Shel Shechinah, Shevet Sheldon, who tried to perpetuate the old pagan ways among the Israelites. And the Mechilta says that the expression Viloyori Elikim does not have reference to the Israel, to the Amalekites, as Rashi explains, but it has reference to the Israelites. Amalek attacked those elements in Israel who are not fearful of God. Why does the Torah have to tell us that? Because if Amalek had attacked only those elements in Israel who are fearful of God, then one could say that Amalek's attack against Israel stemmed from religious bigotry. So the Torah tells us, it did not stem from any religious bigotry. Sometimes war was carried on between one nation and another just for the purpose of chivalry, for the purpose of showing courage and valor, for the purpose of swinging the sword against sword. That's certainly an unjustifiable motive, but at least it would be in line with the animal instincts of men. But this was not the case, because if Amalek's attack had stemmed from an urge to show chivalry and courage in war, then Amalek should have attacked the strong elements and courageous elements in Israel. But Amalek attacked the hindmost elements, the straggling elements in Israel, those who are enfeebled by the march through the wilderness. The Torah mentioned all these points in order to advise us that Amalek's cruelty towards the Jewish people is to be distinguished from the animosity shown by the other ancient nations. True, the Egyptians also tried to drown every Jewish boy, but there it stemmed from a fear lest the Israelites will become strong and they will overcome the Egyptians. As Pharaoh said, Hovon is Hakmole, Penyirbe, Vohoyok is Ikenu Milchomo, Vinesav Damuel Sinenu, Vinil Hambonu, Violominor. For that reason, the Torah said, Luis Isaias Mit. Why? Because the Torah, as I discussed in Parshas Vayechi, or in Parshas Shmos, mentions two kinds of divine attributes. As these are classified by the Zohar. One category of divine attributes are the attributes misitra d'yamin, from the right side of the Shechinah. These attributes are the attributes of Rachum, Vichanun, Chapayim, Rav Chesed, Emes, Nisi Chesed, Alofim, Nisi Ovin, Vapesha, Vechato, Vinat. Then there is the other category of attributes, of Loyinat, of Kirkan, Vinatim, of Pekit, Avinovis, Albonim, Valshelashim, Valribay. When does Hashem apply the attributes of Rachum, Vichanun, of Erechapayim, of forbearance and tolerance and compassion, and when does Hashem apply the midah of kanovinate, of intolerance? If sin and evil stem from the animal instincts in man, then Hashem is tolerant and compassionate, because then there is hope for man that with the proper training and with the proper cultivation of morals, he will change. If violence stems from stupidity, So then Hashem is tolerant. Because as men progress and he becomes wiser and more intelligent, then he will change. This is the reason as to why the Jews devent in their prayers to the aspiration and the hope that one day all of mankind will acknowledge Almighty God. ואלכי ניקב לך עד השם אלכינו ולראיס מהירו בספרה שזכו להביא הגילולי מן האורת ויעולילי מקוריס כי קוריסו ויסקינו אילום במלכו שדאי וכל בני ועשור יקריאו ושמע. But if men resort to violence not because of certain animal instincts, not because of any loss, not because of any cupidity, not because of any imperialistic motive, not because of any feeling of revenge, because of done to him in the past, not because of any religious bigotry, not because of any stupidity. If men resort to violence, reshame violence for the sake of violence, then there is no hope for such men. And then Hashem adapt the middle of Kanavinakin, of Pekit Avinovi, Salbonim, Valshilation, Valeri. This is the reason as to why the Torah is intolerant towards Amalek and at the same time manifests forbearance and compassion towards Egypt and the Edomites. Now, we see in this Shabbos Haftorah that the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amolek is based upon Ipkide by Almighty God. As Shmuel said to Shaul, Vayimah Shmuel Shaul Leisi Sholach Adishem Lim Shokhacho Limelech Alamei Al Yisrael Viyato Shmau Lekil Divad Adishem. כיומר עד השם צבאיס פוקדתי את אשר עושה המולק לישראל אשר שום לי בדרר בעלי שם מצרואים אתו ליך ויקיסו את המולק ויחמתו את כל השם. So the Novi had to mention that God remembered the deeds of Amalek. What does it mean God remembered the deeds of Amalek? God always remembers. There was no change in God, but pokadity means that God took notice at that particular moment of the past deeds of Amalek, and this gave rise to the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek. And the Rambam in his Akdome to the Perush HaMishneh says in so many words that the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek arises only if a Novi comes in the name of God and exhort the Jewish people, or the Melech, who is the leader of the Jewish people, to blot out the name of Amalek. This is implicit in the Pasuk of the Haftorah, and according to the Rabbi Ovadia Tzipornes Perush, it is implicit in the Pasuk in Parashat Bishalach, ויאמר עד השם אל מישה, כסיב זה זיכורים בספר ושים בי אוזני ישוע, כמוך ימך זכר המולק מתחת השמיים. Why this is a memorial in the book, which book? The Torah. And rehearse it in the years of Yeshua. Why in the years of Yeshua? The Ramban says because he was the Melech. And the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek is a mitzvah that is incumbent upon the Tibur, upon the nation in its entirety. It's not a mitzvah that is incumbent upon the Yochid. It is to be directed against Amalek as a people, and it is to be fulfilled by the Jews in its entirety as a people. Now, who can realize this mitzvah? The Melech, the leader, the one that unifies the Jewish people. So, v'sim b'ozni Yeshua, you shall rehearse it in the years of Yeshua, the first Melech of the Israelites in Israel. Kimochei emche zeichar Amalek in tachat shamayim means I will tell Inovi. When is the right time, the proper moment for the realization of this mitzvah? This is the reason as to why the Torah says Kimochei emche. God himself has to blot out. True that the Jews were commanded to blot out Amalek's name, but the Jews are required to blot out Amalek's name only when there is a pkideh by Hashem. There must be the Kimochei emche, and this Kimochei emche gives rise to the Mochei Timcha. There are two mitzvahs that are contingent by Dvar Hashem. The mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek and the mitzvah of Mikdosh. So the Kedushas HaMikdosh can only be realized through not. In Mikachi Nesuyiyah Vesazoreis or Alpinovi Valpiyurum Vitumim. Now why is this mitzvah contingent upon a Pekideh Hashem? Now, in order to understand this, we must take cognizance of the distinction between the meaning of the term Zocheir and the meaning of the term Pokorit. Jews were required to remember Amalek, not to forget. Not to forget means Lev, Lishishka Lev. Zocheir means Bepe. As to whether the mitzvah of Zocheir Bepe applies in all generations, or it is to be fulfilled only when a war against Amalek is pending, is a machlekes v'sheinim. According to the Rambam, so the mitzvah of Zocheir is to be fulfilled only when a war between the Amalekites and the Jewish people is pending. Then it is a mitzvah d'oraisa to recite the parsha of Amalek. But when a war is not pending, then there is no mitzvah. According to the Chinuch, this is a mitzvah that is to be realized throughout the generations, even the time of the Golus. Even when there is no war pending between Israel and Amalek. But there, the Torah employs the term Zocheir. Zocheir is asher osa lecha Amalek. Here the Torah says, Ko yomar Hashem tzveis, pokadeti is asher osa Amalek leYisrael. There is a distinction between the term Zocheir and the term pokadeti. Zocheir relates to the past. A person is Zocheir, a past deed of another person. The term Zocheir can be used even if it is not related to something in the present. We remember the deeds of Amalek, of the ancient Amalek. I don't mean the modern Amalekites, I mean the ancient Amalek. Even though he does not relate to anyone or to anything pending in the present. Pocket, however, can be used only when someone remembers the past, but at the same time, he relates it to someone or to something in the present. Vadishem pokate so. What does it mean? God remembers so. Yes, he remembers. What did God remember? The past. When you remember, you have to remember something in the past. You can't remember something in the present. God remembered the schusim of Sorrow, the past good deeds of Sorrow. But this was related to Sorrow in the present. An account of this, so Sorrow can see. So there is really, in Pakot, there is a combination between an event of the past with an event of the present. Now, pokot can be used in a favorable sense, and pokot can be used in an unfavorable sense. In order to point out clearly the distinction between Zocheir and pokot, I want to cite a certain Gemara in Shabbos. Now, the Gemara In Shabbat Daf Nun Hei says, at least Shmuel says that, Tamos Chusavos. Chusavos did not continue forever. At a certain moment in Jewish history, it ended. Then there is a machlekes in the Gemara when it ended. So, the Gemara raises the question, may Messiah Tamos Chusavos? When did Chusavos end? So, Omar Rav Mimeisu Shea Ben Beiri, Shenemar Agales Nivloso Leini Ma'azeo, V'yishlo Yatsileno Miyori. In the time of Ishea, so the Schus of Eis ended. Shmuel Omar Mimei Chazoel, Shenemar V'chazoel Melech Arom Lochas Es Yisrael, Kol Yimei Yochos, וחצי ויחנה בשם איסום וירחמי ויחנה להם וממבריסי את אברום את יצחק ויעקב ולאובי אשחיסום ולא ישביחו מהאופונות עתה. That means עתה. But at that moment it already ended. רבי ישוע בן לוי אמר מימי אליהו. It ended in the time of אליהו. ורבי יחנה אמר מימי חזקיהו שנאמר למר בה המסחו ושולם עם קיץ על כיסא גבי והממלכתי והוכי נעיסו ולסעדו במשפטו וזדוקו מעטו ועדיו. כנת על השם צווי סעד. So, זכות סובית, ended. So Tesis says, Tesis apparently was very baffled by this remark of the Chazal, that זכות סובית ended. אמר רב נתם, די זכות סובית תמו. Only זכות סובית ended. אבל ברי סובית לא תמו. דו כסי וזוכרתי את ברי סייעקויס. Because it is mentioned with the heart. The fact that it is mentioned to Zoharti proves that Brit of Ace never ends. What kind of a proof is it? Is implicit in this posik of Zoharti as Brit Yaakov that it will never end? Maybe it will end, but God said, the Zoharti, I will remember. I'll remember as long as it can be remembered, as it is capable of being remembered. But if at a certain moment the potential of Chusavos is exhausted, then there is nothing left that could be remembered. Apparently, Tesis inferred from the use of the term Zocharti rather than the term Pokadiki. If the Torah had said Upokadiki es Bris Yaakov, then it could end. But inasmuch as the Torah employs the term Vizokharti, that ipso facto implies that it can never end. A safeguard there. Why? Because Schusavis is not a merit of the Oveis that entitles the descendants of the Oveis to a certain reward. That would not be in conformity to the concept of justice. True, Hashem is not only just, Hashem is righteous, is Rachum v'chanun, but there has to be a synthesis between the middle of justice and chesed. One is not allowed to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatron, al Chazal say, Koloime HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatron, such a person is punished by that. It wouldn't be genuine Rachamim if it hadn't been coupled with justice. To reward a person on account of the merit of his ancestors, of his remote ancestors, without any good deeds of his own, would be repugnant to the concept of justice. Why should one be entitled to a reward because his great-great-great-grandfather was a nice man? So the Gemara Shmuel says, Tamos Chusavos. Chusavos is not something that can continue forever. The potential of Chusavos can be exhausted. Chusavos is only effective as long as the descendants can manifest certain traits in their character which conform to the qualities of the ancestors. As long as the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov can show in their records that some of their deeds bear a slight resemblance to the deeds of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov,
then they are entitled to a reward from Hashem. That's chusam. But if the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, if the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov cannot show that their deeds correspond in any way, even in a remote way, with the qualities of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, then there is no source of it. So the question arose, until when did Chusovitz continue? So one says, Mimeisho Shea b'meiri, Shenema, then it ended, Agales nivoso leini me'aveo v'ishu yakelenem yodik. Now, this pasuk, when it is considered in its context, so actually tells us that Hashem will not have compassion, does not have compassion for the Jews in that generation, because they all addicted themselves to Avodah Zarah. This is what the Novi says in effect. Because, without exception, the Jews in Israel in that time addicted themselves to idolatry. So, Zchus Avos cannot avail them, because the Zchus Avos was based upon certain peculiar qualities of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. What was their various qualities of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov? But one of the qualities was the Min Badishem Vayashivel Lizbach, Avraham's faithfulness and loyalty to God. As long as the Jews can show that there is a spark of that loyalty, a mere spark, then they are entitled to claim a reward from Hashem on the basis of Kuzalik. But the Meyushia Ben Be'eri, they could not show even a spark of loyalty towards God. So they could not be entitled to a reward on the basis of Kuzalik. Then one says, Adi Mechetkio. Why? Because the Pasuk tells us there that Chetkio persevered in his endeavors to perpetuate the Jewish heritage among the children of Israel. And as our sages explain this passage, that Botko Midon Vadeya Shava, where we must to kill it in Akesh or Kim Bitum of it. This means that in the time of Chetkio, Jews manifested a correspondence with the quality of Avraham, of being devoted to the task of rearing a family in accordance with the teachings of God. Ki yidati z'liman asher yitzaveh ezbonov ezbeisov v'shomru derech Hashem la'at yitzchakom mishpat. So one of the peculiar qualities of Avraham was his devotion to Chinuch. And in the time of Chizkiyo, the Jews showed a conformity to this quality. So they are entitled to a reward on the basis of Chizkiyo. But if the Jews cannot show in their record any conformity in any way to the qualities of the Omeis, then there is no Chizkiyo. Then the potential of Chizkiyo is a crime. So then Taisa says, true, that if the Jews cannot show any conformity in their deeds to the qualities of the Oveis, there is no Schus Oveis, but Bris Oveis Loitamo. Why? Because it is mentioned Vizocharti as Bris Yaakov. It is not mentioned to Foskariti as Bris Yaakov, but Vizocharti as Bris Yaakov. Zocher means, Zocher has reference to the past. It does not have to be related to the past. God promised Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that in return for the good deeds of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Jews will be helped. And that applies regardless whether the Jews in the future generations will conform to the ways of Avraham or not. Now, the mitzvah of Zocher, of reciting verbally the past deeds of Amalek, that applies indiscriminately. regardless whether the Amalekites of today addict themselves to the cruelties and the turpitudes of the ancient Amalekites or not. It is something that has that relates to the past. It has no reference to the present. But as a condition precedent to the realization of Mechiyas Amalek, it is not enough that Hashem remembers the past deeds of Amalek, but there has to be a Pkidov Hashem. Now, the term Pikodein also is derived from the term Pokeid. What does Pikodein mean? Pikodein signifies an object that was entrusted to another person, and which he is to watch and to keep, and in the end to return, undamaged. Because there, in the Pikodein, there is the combination of the past. What is the past that the Shemer has to remember? The fact that it was entrusted to him. And also, he has to relate it to the present. So the term Pokod is used when there is that combination. Now, in reference to Amalek, Hashem applies the middle of combination of Pekeid Avinovi Salbonin Valshirishin Valvi. God is Pekeid. He visits. Only if they continue to addict themselves to the same turpitude as the ancestors, only then God will visit the iniquities of the ancestors upon the descendants. Why? Because God will not punish an innocent party for the sins of another. The descendant and the ancestor represent two independent beings as individuals. As individuals, yes. But apart from the responsibility that every human being has as an individual, there is also a collective responsibility incumbent upon the group. Now the Rambam, there is no Rambam in the Cheshuvah, is there? The Rambam says in the Cheshuvah that just as man as an individual is to account before Almighty God, so every city, every country, every state, the mankind in his entirety is to account to God for its deeds as a class. As an individual, a person today cannot be held responsible for the past crimes of his great-grandfather. That would be repugnant to the concept of justice. But as a collective, so Germany today is responsible for the deeds of Germany, for all the crimes committed by Germany. If the historical identity is continued. As long as there is historical identity between the Germany of Hitler and the Germany of today, so the Germany of today as a group, as a collective, is responsible for the past crimes. Even after decades, not only now. Even after centuries. As long as there is historical identity between the two Germanys. That's the Irvi Masi Avisei Amirei. When is Hashem may take it Avinori Salbonim Al-Shirishim Val-Ribayim? Only there is an identity between the ancestors and the descendants, then Hashem holds the descendants responsible, not as individuals, but as a collective. So, the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek, while it stems not from the Midas of Sitre Deyemin, it undoubtedly does not stem from the middle of Rachamim and Chesed and Derech HaPayim, but rather from the middle of Tanu V'Nekein, of Tekit Avinoveis, Albonim, Al-Shileishim, Al-Ribayim, but it represents one of the attributes of God, of holding descendants responsible as a collective for the past crimes of the ancestors. If the identity between the ancestors and the descendants is established. But who can ascertain with the utmost certainty that there is that complete identity between the ancestors and the descendants? No one but Hashem. In order to remember, then we don't require any Pekidah by Hashem. Because to remember the past deeds of Amalek, that we can remember, regardless whether the Amalekites of today persevere in the turpitude of the ancient Amalekites or not. We can still remember, because remembering does not relate to anything in the present. We do not let out our wrath against the Amalekites of today by remembering the past turpitudes of the ancient Amalekites. But in order to blot out Amalek as a nation, then we have to establish the identity between the Amalekites of the past and the Amalekites of the present. So Kiyomar Adishem Troyes, Pokaditi Asher Osa Amalek V'Yisrael, Asher Somloi Bader Baleis Mitzrayim. I remember, God said, he remembers very well the turpitudes of the ancient Amalekites, the Amalekites that made that unprovoked attack against Israel, the attack which did not stem from animal instincts, which did not stem from any imperialistic motives, which did not stem from any cupidity for the possessions of Israel, which did not stem from lust, which did not stem from any stupidity, from any religious bigotry. The attack which represented violence for the sake of violence, aggression for the sake of aggression, brutality for the sake of brutality. God remembers all that. But is the Amalek of today, in the time of Shmuel, of Shaul, does it still persevere in the same violence, in the same aggression, in the same brutality? Who can tell? A human being couldn't tell. A human being could only say yes to this Amalekite, that Amalekite. But as to Amalekite in its entirety, no human being could determine that question. Only Hashem could determine whether they still persevere in their turpitudes. And Hashem did take notice of the fact. That's what Pokaliti implies. And we see that the Amalekites in the time of Shaul really were guilty of the same crimes as the Amalekites in the time of Moshe. Because Shmuel said, Kasha Shiklo Noshim Chabecho, King Tishkal Minoshim Imecho. And I'll say that thousands and thousands of Jewish mothers became deprived of their children and of their husbands through Agog's turpitude. So there was an identity. Not only was there a biological identity, but there was a historical identity between the Amalekites in the time of Moshe and the Amalekites in the time of Shmuel. This historical identity was taken notice by Hashem. And therefore, he revealed himself to Shmuel and to mention it to show that there was a Pekidah by Hashem, and that gave rise to the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek. Now, Tesis in Shabbat is true that Schusaveis is Tama, because Schusaveis is based upon a correspondence between the middos that we possess today with the middos of the Aveis. But Brisaveis loy Tama. Why? Because it says the Charity, it doesn't say the Charity. It says the Charity. So, it is not necessary that a historical identity be established. It is, and this also involves a very fundamental hashkof in Yadus. In respect to the midot teva of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Hashem can reward descendants on account of the merit, the good deeds of the ancestor, even Even though there is no historical identity itself, just on the basis of a biological identity. The fact that we are the descendants of Avraham Yitzchak, that is enough on the basis of bris of it, not chus of it. But in respect to midas poronios, in respect to the mida of poronios, so a biological identity is not enough. There has to be, in addition to the biological identity, there has to be a historical identity. And you see, neitzi chesed la'alofim, neitzi ovim vosecha sechato vinati. Neitzi, he doesn't say peitzit ovim. Peitzit chesed la'alofim. But neitzi chesed la'alofim. But in respect to midas poronios, it's not neitzi. It's not neitzi, it's peitzit. The midas poronios of HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot be meted out unless there is a historical identity between the ancestors and the descendants, then the descendants are held responsible by Hashem as a collective. Now, we can see that the halacha, all the halachic points in connection with the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek actually conform to this notion that the collective responsibility of the descendants of Amalek is to apply only if there is an exact historical identity between the ancestors and the descendants. Now, what is the halacha? Now, the Rambam mentions that when Israel is ready to wage war against Amalek, then the Melech is to send an ultimatum to the Amalekites and to offer to them Kabbalah Zayin Mitzvah Zneach. And if they are willing to be Mikabel the Zayin Mitzvah Zneach, then not only isn't he required to wage war, but he is allowed to kill the Amalekites. The mocker of the Rambam in the Torah itself is implicit not in the parsha of Amalek, but rather in the parsha of Dainanim. The Torah says in connection with Dainanim, Limana Shliach Diweischam, Milamechim Chozru, so Chazal say, Milamechim Chozru Bichuva Mikablene. Whereupon the Rambam and the Ramban make the comment that Chozer B'tshuva means Kabbalah Zayin Mitzvah Zneach. So this is mentioned in the Torah in connection with Dainanim. The Rambam applies it to Amalek as well. And the reason as to why the Rambam applies it to Amalek as well is because of a pasuk in this Shabbos Haftorah. Vayishlochacho ad Hashem bidorech vayimea Leich v'acharamto es ha-chatoyim v'es ha-molik v'nilchamto voy at kaleisoni. So he said es ha-chatoyim v'es ha-molik, the sinners of Amalek. Apparently those that are not sinners do not come within the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek. Now ha-chatoyim means more than sinners. Chete is a sinner. Ha-chatoyim means chato is one who is rooted in sin. Only those that are rooted in the crimes of Amalek, those that retain the historical identity of Amalek of old, they have to be locked up. Now, with this, we can understand as to why Shaul committed the error that he did. Now, Chazal tell us that Shaul made a kalvachoma in connection with the expression of Vayori Shaul Adir Amalek Vayorav Banochal Ariski Noch. He deduced the kalvachoma. Uma al nefeshach omrotero hovi egla arufo. The Torah tells us that if a person is found slain on the road and it is not known who the killer is, So then, the Bezdin of the year Akrevo has to bring an eglo and to break the neck of the, of this eglo. So on account of one person, the Torah required the Jews to bring an eglo arufo. So many human beings are lachaskamo v'chamo. V'im deli mechotu, k'tani mechotu. So his kalachema was, if Dolim are to be exterminated, we can understand, but K'tanim, they didn't sin, so why should they be blotted out? Now, Shaul's Kalachema was actually based upon a halachic point. Now, Shaul argued that inasmuch as the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amoleik is based upon a p'tido by Hashem, and that p'tido in turn is founded upon the historical identity that there is between the descendants and the ancestors, and consequently it is to be meted out only against the Chatoim of Amoleik, so it should apply only to Gdelim, who are themselves rooted in the crimes of Amoleik. But K'tanim Achotu, how can they be treated as Chatoim? So for that reason, Shaul spared the K'tanim. Now, of course, Shaul committed an error in sparing the K'tanim. But the question arises, how did Shaul dare challenge the Dvar Hashem and the mitzvah of the Torah? Now, the answer to this question is that Shaul, in his judgment, acted in full conformity to the mandates of the Torah. There is the halacha of Roi Bashamayim, that if a Novi comes and he exhorts the Jews that as to a certain machlekes that prevails between, let's say, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, so the halacha is like Rabbi Lezer, so we are not bound to comply with the tzivu hanot, that the halacha of Rabbi Shemayim, just as Rabbi Lezer did not pay any attention to the Basque. Now there is a machlekes between the Rambam and the Ramban on this point. According to the Rambam, if a Novi tries b'derech hanvuyeh to establish the law, let's say a Novi says b'derech hanvuyeh that melacha shenitzricha legufo is pot, so he is to be treated as a Novi Asheka. The Rambam says, no, he is not to be treated as a Novi Asheka, because there is no raya that he is a false prophet. Maybe he is a true prophet. But the halacha of Leib HaShemayim only implies that we are not bound to hearken to the Novi if he tries to determine a matter of law. If a Novi comes and he exhorts the Jewish people to do something as a temporary measure, then we are required to hearken to the Novi. And if we fail to hearken to the Novi, then we are hired by the Shemayim. But if he tries to establish a law permanently, so Loi Bashamayim, you're not required to hearken to him. But he's not in Ovi Hashekah. Because possibly he might be a true prophet. Now, the Rambam's worry is that Tovin says the Gerach Hanvuye that Melocha Shinitzricha Legufo is what? So he is to be treated as in Ovi Hashekah. The Rambam says, because there is no raya that he's a false prophet. Maybe he's a true prophet. But the halacha of Leib HaShemayim only implies that we are not bound to hearken to the Novi if he tries to determine a matter of law. If a Novi comes and he exhorts the Jewish people to do something as a temporary measure, then we are required to hearken to the Novi. and if we fail to harp into the Novi, then we are hired by the Shammai. But if he tries to establish a law permanently, so loy b'Shammai mi, we are not required to hearken to him. But he's not in Novi Hashekah. Because possibly he might be too fast. Now, the Rambam's worry is that Hashem would not if he cannot be effective in his mission. If the halacha is that Jews are not required to hearken to the Navi, so that means that this mission is a futile mission. Hashem wouldn't reveal himself to a prophet so that the mission should be futile. So the fact that the Novi says that Hashem revealed himself and told him that the law is in a certain way shows that it's false. Because there couldn't be Tzivu Hashem Levatolo. And according to the Novi, it is Levatolo because even if it is true, we are not bound to hearken to the Novi. So, the only reason as to why the Rambam says that he is to be treated as a Novi Hashekah is only because it is presumed that God's revelation to a Novi would not be futile. But assuming that for one reason or another we know that the prophecy of the Novi is true, it's not false, then the Rambam would still agree with the Rambam. The Jews are still not required, they're not bound to hearken to the Novi. Because of the halacha of Loi Bashamayim. A Novi cannot determine Dine HaTorah. The determination of Dine HaTorah is up to the Beis Din, to the Sanhedrin, to the Chachmei Yisrael Shebecholdei Vadeir. They have to determine Dine HaTorah according to Kabbalah and to their Torah. But it is not to be determined prophetically. Now, if Shmuel had come to Shaul and had exhorted Shaul to wage war against Amalek as a temporary measure, not in conformity to the mitzvah sator of Moche Timche Zech Amalek, then Shaul would not have hesitated, and he certainly would have conformed to the mandate of God. But Shmuel came to Shaul true in the capacity of a Novi, but he exhorted him to blot out Amalek in order to fulfill the mitzvah Torah of Moche Timche. As he said, Kuyom Arad Hashem Tzoyiz, Pokaritiz Asher Osta Amalek to Yisrael, Asher Somli Bader Amalek Mitzrayim. Now is the proper moment to fulfill that mitzvah of Moche Timche, Atalek Rikid as Amalek. So he was not exhorted to blot out Amalek as a temporary measure, Atir Hashon, but he was exhorted in pursuance of the commandment of Moche Timche. So that means that, and he also told him that he should slay not only the adolescents among the Amalekites, but also the Ketanim, the infant. Now, Shaul, in his judgment, according to his judicial determination of the law of Amalek, this mitzvah of Milchama should be limited only to adolescents, because the mitzvah is limited only to the Chatoim of Amalek, only to those who retain the historical identity between the ancient Amalekites and the present Amalekites. So if Godel can retain the historical identity, and those adolescents who agreed to be Mikavil, the Zayin Mitzvah and Neach, even though they had addicted to these Mitzvahs and Neach in the past, so they were certainly spared
That's the Aloche. Now we find in the time of Dovi there are so many Amalekites. So that means that apart from Agog, Shaul probably spared many, many other Amalekites. Well, how did he spare them? Because he had to spare them. All those who were willing to give up the corrupt ways of Amalek, they had to be spared. So, as to in regard to adolescents, so we know who are the Hatoim and who are not the Hatoim. But as to the infants, they're not in a position by themselves to determine their course of life. So they should not come within the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek. So Shaul's judgment was that this mitzvah of Mochei Timche should be limited only to the adolescents of Amalek, not to the Ktanim. Perhaps some of these Ktanim, when they grow up, they'll turn out to be nice people. So they're not Hatoim. True that Shmuel told him in the name of God, Ve'achramtem eskola shaloiv, le'sach melolof, ve'imatom ish adish omeil v'adienik, v'sheel atzem eskola chamer. Infants included. But, he said, I am not mechuyev to comply with the mandate of the Novi. Lo'i v'ashamayimi. The Novi exhorts me to wage war, not as a temporary measure, but in pursuance of the mitzvah of the Torah. Insofar as the interpretation of the mitzvah of the Torah is concerned, we are not to hearken to it. Of course, Shaul knew very well that Shmuel was not a false prophet. But the Lord was lying to me. So he refused to comply with the mandate of Amalek. And he spared the infants. And for this reason, Shaul also spared Agog. Now Agog, as it appears from this haftorah, was not a decent person. Agog was himself guilty in the death of thousands of Jewish children. So why did he have compassion for Agog more than for anyone else? But the answer is, Shaul spared Agog because Agog, like the Nazis, so he was willing to be good and decent. He was willing to be Mikabel, the Zayimitz, and Neach, which represent the fundamental duties of humanity that are incumbent upon every human being. So he was not among the Hatoim of Amalek. He consequently spared him. And as to the argument that the Dvar Hashem is in conflict with his judgment, so Shaul felt free to act in accordance with his own judgment because of Loiba Shamaimi. But Shaul committed an error. What was the error? The error was this. When can we apply the principle of Loiba Shamaimi only in reference to a mitzvah, the realization of which is not contingent upon a pkido by Hashem, upon a tziva Hashem? Okay, if a Novi tries to determine the law of Shabbos, the law of Kibbutz Avei, or any other law of the Torah, so then we are not required to hearken to it. But let's take as an example the mitzvah of the Osel Migdosh. So there the halacha is, that means whenever a Beit HaMikdash is to be built, it is to be built in accordance with the pattern that was revealed to Enoch. Now the Mishkan was built in accordance with the pattern that was revealed to Moshe. The Bais Rishon was built in accordance with the pattern that was revealed to God Achize. And the Bais Sheni was built in accordance with the pattern that was revealed to Chagas Chayim Malachi. And the Bais Shlishi will be built in accordance with the pattern that was already been revealed to Yecheskel. So that's the halacha. Now, could anyone, could the architect, could Bezalel, have said, I'm not going to build it in accordance with this pattern shown to Meisha, because this is a matter of law. In my judgment, it has to be built in a different way. Now, of course, it goes without saying that Bezalel could not install one stone in the structure of the Mishkan without complying to the specifications of the pattern shown to Moshe. Why? Because this mitzvah is not an ordinary mitzvah. It is a mitzvah that is itself contingent upon the Zarshan. That's the halacha. So the Novi, that's part and parcel of the Kiyuma mitzvah. This is how the mitzvah is to be realized. With the Dvashem. The same thing is true of the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek. Mechiyas Amalek cannot be fulfilled unless there is a Pekidah by Hashem. If Jews were to slay Amalek, without a Pekidah by Hashem, then it would be an act of Chisich. So the realization of this mitzvah is contingent upon a Pekidah by Hashem. Consequently, the halacha of Loi Bashomayim cannot apply. Consequently, Yishol was bound to comply with the mandate of Shmuel. Now, that was one error committed by Yishol. But what was the logical fallacy in Yishol's reasoning? Superficially, it seems that Yishol's reasoning was very sound. If the halacha of Mechiyas Amalek implies that it is only to be applied against the Chatoim of Amalek, how can Ktanim be considered as Chatoim? How can they? So, here again, we have to resort to the Mideh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Tekit Avinovei Salbonim Valbneibon. That is, only if it is Eichzi Mase Arisei Mirei. But they have to be Eichzi Mase Arisei Mirei. But there is another Mirei. Ish Bichate Yomus. Bizman Shehu Ish. Avaloi Bizman Shehu Kot. So that, and of course, that applies only to the Onshin B'dei Shamayim, it has no application to Onshin B'dei Olam. Now, Beis Din certainly cannot, has no right to mete out a penalty against the minor son of a guilty person and say he's not an Ish. This is only in reference to Onshin B'dei Shamayim. So, the Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu in regard to Pironios is that a minor child is punished for the sins of the father. Ish b'chete yomus, bizman shehu ish. Now it goes without saying that the minor children of those Amalekites who undertook to be mikabel the zayin mitzvah in Eliach, that they were spared. If their fathers were spared, so they too were spared. So when the Novi said Me'elel Vadyenech, he had only reference to those infants that were the children of the Amalekites who persevered in their turpitude, who refused to be Mikabel the Dainizaneh. Now their fathers were guilty. They were Hatoim. So the children, the Ktanim of these Hatoim could not be spared. Why? Because of Ish B'chete Yomus, Bizman Sher Ish, V'loi Bizman Sher Yikoton, which is only a corollary to the middle of Pekit Avinovei Sobore. If the Av If the bonim are daily. Areir the mafia are saying by them and they are to be held guilty by Dinei Shamayim. So even their infant children can be punished. But this is a prerogative of God. Man is not allowed to mete out a punishment against the ketanim of the guilty individual. But Hashem does. And when Hashem does, it is also as a punishment for the collective responsibility of a nation or the group or the family. Now, when Hashem punishes Ketanim for the sins of ancestors, so it is not by way of individual responsibility, but it is by way of collective responsibility. Because just as every nation is collectively responsible for the crimes committed by the nation as a unit, just as mankind is collectively responsible for the crimes committed by mankind in its entirety, so also every mishpacha, every family, is responsible for the averes of the mishpacha. And if Hashem meets out a penalty against Ketanim, so it is not by way of individual responsibility, but it is by way of collective responsibility of the mishpacha, of the family. Now here, but of course, a human being, no human agency, can resort to this prerogative. But there is one exception, and that is Amalek. Inasmuch as Amalek is contingent upon the pkid of Hashem, so that means when Amalek is blotted out by the Jewish people in conformity to the mandate of God, so it is not to be considered as done through a human agency, but it is to be considered as done by Hashem himself, because that's the halacha. Ki moche yamche zeicher Amalek. Chu moche timche. But this must be only in pursuance of a direct pkido by Hashem. So the Yom Tovis Albonim cannot apply to Amalek. Because of the fact that it is contingent upon a pkido by Hashem. Now, this is the reason as to why the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek applies to Ketanim as well. Of course, it is to be limited only to the Ketanim of those parents that persevere in the turpitude of Amalek, in the Ruach HaPoi. So then the midah of Pekida Avinovis Albonim is to be meted out, and also the corollary of Pekida Avinovis Albonim of Ish Bechetei Yomus Bizman Shehu Ish Veloi Bizman Shehu Ketan. Now, what was the error committed by Shaul in sparing Agog? Now, Shaul obviously spared Agog because Agog undertook to be a nice man. So he had the right to spare him. Not only had the right, halachically it seems that it was his obligation to spare him. That's the halacha, that you have to offer the alternative of Kabbalah Zayin Mitzvahis to the Amalekim. And even though they are mikabel out of fear, because they want to save their lives, so they still have to be spared. Because in every case where Jews are ready to wage a war against the Amalekim, and they accept the Zayin Mitzvah Neach, it's the 99% of the cases it is for the purpose of saving their lives. And still, we have to be mikabel then. That's the halacha. Regardless what the motive is, as long as he's mikabel by mitzvah neach, Agog was also mikabel. So why did he spare him? Now the Radak mentions a certain medrash in connection with the pasuk of the nikesi domam lo nikesi. Domam lo nikesi. That Hashem is mechapeh. He forgives for all the crimes done by men. Hashem will forgive the enemies of the Jewish people, the Sinai Yisrael, for all the crimes that they committed against the Jews, if they do tshuva. In the case, if they do tshuva. But domam lo in the case. But those Sinai Yisrael who were guilty of shedding Jewish blood, they've been guilty just of robbing Jewish money, then Hashem will forgive them if they do tshuva. But domam lo in the case. They cannot be forgiven. There is no tshuva. There is no tshuva. Now, that means that even though an Amaleki who is Mikabel Zayim Mitzvah V'Neach, so cannot be slain, but if he is guilty of Domam, so then we cannot be Mikabel him B'Tshuva. Now, what is the aloche of Manashe Yachtiu Eschem, Lamechim Chizrim B'Tshuva Mikablenis, and what does it imply? If he's about Tshuva. So only if the Tshuva is effective, but if the Tshuva is not effective, so he remains a Chatoy. There is no Tshuva for those who shed Jewish blood. Now, the Mechilte in Parashat B'Shalach says, Nishbah HaKodesh Boruch Shim Yoveyu Mikol Umeis Lizgaya Shem Mizgayrim Vim Yoveyu Mim Amolek Sheino Mizgaya Shenema Ben Yishkeir Amolek Yanech Hayim Alei Domcha Beficho Domcha Beficho. Now what does that mean? Now that means that if an Amaleki is guilty of shedding Jewish blood, then there is no tshuva for him. So he has to be slain. Regardless of his undertaking, regardless of his promises. Now Agog was guilty of shedding Jewish blood, so he said, "Kasha shiklo noshim chardecho ken tishkal minoshim imecho." So there was no tshuva. That was a mistake committed by Shaul, because he assumed that just the tshuva avails everyone, so even Agog can avail himself of tshuva, and that was the error he committed. Now with this we can understand a kasha that is raised by some achrayim against this mechilta. But mechilta says that if an Amaleki wants to be Mizgayer, so we are not accepting it. And David refused to be Mikabel this gear Amaleki. The kasha is from the Gemara in Gittin. Mibnei Baruch Shel Homon Lindutei Rob Ibnei Vrak. Now, so the question is, if you cannot be Mikabel, so how could there be Geirim with Nebon of Shalomon? Well, the answer is very simple. If Kabbalah Zayim Mitzvah is enough, so certainly an Amaleki can spare his life by Kabbalah's Geirus. But the Mechilta only mentions it in reference to someone who is guilty of shedding Jewish blood. So it's in a case, Domam, right in a case. So that would be true even in respect to someone who is not an Amaleki. But if someone is not an Amaleki, there is no mitzvah of Machitim. But if someone is Amaleki, and he has to exclude himself from this category through the Kabbalah Zayim Mitzvah, through Tshuveh, if he is guilty of shedding Jewish blood, he cannot exclude himself from that category. So therefore, Dom Chavisicho, he had to slay him. But the same thing is true of every Sinai Yisrael that is guilty of shedding Jewish blood, that there is no tshuva for him. But the neighbor of Shalhomol in the Teirot Nebevrak, those that were Mizgayeh, were not guilty of shedding Jewish blood, they could have become Geirim. So this explains the whole reasoning of Shaul and what the errors that Shaul committed were. All right, now I would like to cover some ground in the book.